This is Chris McGregor. The work of Discerning Hearts could not continue without your prayers and support. Between now and December 31st, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. Click Donate at either discerninghearts.com or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Your generous support will allow us to continue our podcast for those on the discerning journey. Thank you and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts. DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered St. Padre Pio, who became a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Morning.
Good morning, Monsignor. How's my favorite Monsignor?
There's a priest here who's got on his car, Monsignor One.
Oh.
He's got tremendous humility, Monsignor One.
Or I could get you a big sweatshirt that says, The Monsignor.
Well,
maybe I will.
I'll tell you. I'm so happy to talk to you. I like title brother. As I go along, Francis of Assisi used to call everybody friar, friar this, friar that. And in Italian, it meant brother.
You have a great love for him, don't you?
Yes, yes. And that beautiful instruction that Jesus said, call no man father, we only have one father, he took very seriously. But then all mankind became his brother, and also brother, son, sister, moon. You know, did you ever see that movie? He just loved the sun, and he loved the moon, and all creation became his friend, and the animals, and he was just in tune and in peace with the universe. And I believe that Jesus also had that same disposition. As I enter today, coming on to Christmas, it's just coming up to Mary. She is like super. She is the lowest and the lowliest. I always remember this little girl who was in first grade, Marilee, and I was just ordained, bright and knew everything. And here I was confronted with this little girl who was actually seeing Jesus in the Sacred Heart. I'm sure God was talking to Marilee, and because of the things she was saying to me that were so tremendous. Her father was an alcoholic. Her mother was in a sanitarium. She was being raised by a grandmother, and they were very poor. And she had these conversations with God. She had this image of Our Lady, as she told it to me, that we are all the body of Christ, which is what I thought I was going to be teaching everybody, that we are all members of the mystical body. But she said, Mary is the lowest member of the body, and that's why she's seen as the heel. And the evil one is constantly attacking at her heel, and she is going to crush his proud head under her heel, because the proud demon is being crushed by the lowly, the one who is completely dependent on God, and that was Mary. In her faith and in her submission to God, today, who is the one that brought about our salvation? Jesus Christ. Who is the one who most imitates Jesus is Mary. In Hebrews, it says, our Savior, who is the Christ, brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." And that was through Mary. "In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as it is written in the scroll, 'Behold, I come to do your will, O God.'" Perfect obedience. First, he says, sacrifice and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desire nor delight in. These offerings are according to the law. Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. That is the first covenant, which is the law, and the second, which is himself. "By this will we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ for all." So our salvation came through complete submission, which was humility. This is in the letter to the Hebrews. In Philippians it says, he was obedient even unto death, even death on the cross. That is what brought about our salvation. Obedience and humility. Now, Elizabeth, in today's gospel, meets this woman, Mary. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The mother of the Lord, that's Mary, and Jesus is the Lord. She's just pregnant with him. "For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Mary, who was spoken to by the Lord, believed and submitted. "Be it done to me according to thy word." That submission is what brought about our salvation. The text in Micah then tells where it's going to happen. Notice how God is so in love with littleness and submission and humility. It's going to be, Micah says, in Bethlehem of Ephratah, where the Messiah is going to be born. And here now, the King of the world, the Savior of all mankind, the Prince of Peace, the one who has been looked forward to for all the ages, for the salvation of the whole world, is going to come to the little town of Bethlehem through this holy, humble woman, Mary, from Nazareth. And Mary, this lowly one, not only is she's a woman, and she's a young woman. God has such a leaning and a love for the humble and the lowly and the small. What a great lesson Mary gives us, and what a great lesson Christmas is for all of us. I was just praying and thinking about the people that I was spending some time with. I spent several Christmases in Peru. And there it's the beginning of their summer, because it's the other side where I was of the hemisphere. And so in December, we used to take the children swimming for the first time. And the Niño current, which was named after the Christmas current, was how the waters would get warm there in Peru. We would go swimming in the ocean where the temperatures would be now beautiful body temperature to swim in the Pacific. The people in my parish would come without shoes. And I was thinking of us in this country, how my shoes and my clothing, the poverty and their simplicity and the celebration of Christmas was so beautiful by the people. Their Christmas was really and truly centered around Jesus. And all the tinsel and all the kind of fluff that we think is so essential was really the hymns and the joy and the peace, which that's what he is, Jesus, the King of Peace. And La Navidad was a joyful, happy, blessed time for the people in the parish there. They would always be so happy, and they would show up in their bare feet. I imagine all over the world when I think of my brothers and sisters celebrating this in Nairobi. And as we are here, not to get sidetracked by all the tinsel, and to get down to the deeper joy of Christmas. What is it? That I have come to do thy will, O Lord. And you fathers and mothers, children, all of us who are going to celebrate Christmas, if we look at our nativity set, think of Mary. We have been prepared by a beautiful Advent. Look at Mary as she is about to give birth to Jesus. She brings forth the Savior of the world. And I'm convinced, because Mary is Mary, that she really arranged that little stable in a beautiful way. That it wasn't so much filled with dirt, that Joseph had it cleaned and swept, and that there was the joy of poverty there, the simplicity of their humility. I imagine when the shepherds arrived, they were filled with light and radiance and joy. They're coming into that stable where the Savior was born was as magnificent as any palace could be. To enter into their presence, their goodness, their beauty. Joseph's eyes would welcome those shepherds as they came. Mary would be there with beauty and magnificence. You know, we can't look at poverty as if it's not magnificent. Having experienced that physical poverty and that internal joy that I so many times experience in my life, to be with Mother Teresa was not to be with someone who was poor, but someone who was radiant and joyful and rich in joy. And the King of Peace, look at the baby. See what Christmas really is all about. When they come into our midst this Christmas, and what do I mean by that? When they come into our hearts, they transform us. Mother Teresa used to say, so many of us in the first world countries are spiritually poor. And so many in third world countries are spiritually rich, although they're materially poor. Their joy is so, like what I spoke about the other day, but also that abiding peace that radiates, and both of those come from love. As we were spending this beautiful time in preparation for Christmas through an Advent filled with fasting and prayer, each of us came to be more aware of love, of caring for the other, of sacrificing and of offering for one another acts of love and prayer. And so hopefully this Christmas will find our homes tidied up and resplendent with those virtues that bring joy and peace and love. And so at this particular time, to have those final preparations with dignity and simplicity and humility and love. What a joyful day this will be as we now are preparing on it's a Sunday. We're going to be ready for this magnificent and wonderful feast in our homes. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yes. And as you prepare your hearts, you know, there's a beautiful way in that song of kneeling. And kneeling today at Mass, kneeling in your room, around your bed, as you pray, and as you kneel to experience that humility of Bethlehem. You know, when I think of the great people that I know, it's those people who can fill the world with Christmas peace. It's those people that I know that just in their presence, you experience the joy of Christmas. It's their eyes and their love and their care for each individual that these people meet. And you can be that. The ones I'm thinking of especially was my mother. She died in 1987, but so many of the people, my cousins and my family, think of my mother, how much she loved. I don't think my mother went beyond ninth grade, and she was married when she was 16. That was kind of the custom in those days. But she was so filled with love and humility. The love that she had for us five children, there was no doubt about our mother's love and my mother's faithfulness and love for my father, who many times could be difficult. The magnificent atmosphere that she created, she was a very big hero for me. How she eventually brought my father into holiness, really genuine holiness, before he died. Another great hero of mine was my grandfather, who was a junk man, collected rags and scraps, and spoke broken English. But such a magnificent, humble, wonderful, wonderful example of humility and simplicity and faithfulness. He was the father of 10 children, He was a deacon in our parish. And what a magnificent example that he was, a hero to me. In Shenandoah, not too far from me, was born Walter Chiswick, whom I got to know in my priesthood when he returned from prison in 1960. We remained dear friends and very close to each other. I still feel very close to him, and he became a world figure, and I believe he's going to be canonized. In a remote place in Albania, Mother Teresa's born. Here in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania, Walter Chiswick's born. And you, wherever you may be, in Castilla, Piura, Peru, if you were born in Nairobi, Kenya, or wherever you're from, Manila, Philippines, wherever you are, you can be Jesus and radiate that love. Wherever you are, you can be Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen. I wish you a very, very blessed and a happy and a holy Christmas.
Thank you so much, Monsignor. Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Since you knew everybody in the 20th century who was holy, did you ever come across Catherine Doherty?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're kidding.
I know. I was at Madonna House. My first meeting with her was, she was known as Catherine de Hewick. She was just a magnificent lady. Oh, wow. Yes. And going to Madonna House, she was quite crippled then. But before she died, several of us priests went, and we had a wonderful visit there with her. Yes.
She just caught my heart with a postenia.
Oh, yeah.
Sobernosed. And I'm the one on pilgrimage, just.
Yeah.
Is it possible, Monsignor, that the saints get so close to us you could almost touch them?
Oh, well, she was a fiery speaker. She set my heart on fire. And she awakened the American church. She was like one of those John the Baptists that came right out of the desert and blazing. As a seminarian, she just awakened me. And then when we reconnected later on in her life, it was just even more glorious.
I found a very obscure talk she gave in the late 70s, and I was able to figure it all out, and nobody had heard this, I mean maybe 17 people since then, and I put it on my website. It got picked up and it went viral, Monsignor. She was speaking to us today. She was like, now is the time for fire and flame. Mm-hmm. You have to burn.
Yeah.
And I mean, it got picked up on the internet and it just went everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I why am I not surprised you knew her too?
Dorothy Day, our heroes. They were my, uh-huh. when I was a boy, I just looked and hungered for those people who were, they were heroes of mine. But I still, when I look back, you know, even though my mother may not have not known that language, she was living that love. And though my grandfather was living that love. And they just to be in their presence, you don't have to, when you're with a saint, they don't have to talk. They're being, you're with them and they radiate. That's why when you go in to truly be with Mary and Joseph with your nativity set, you're just going to be, when you really get into her Immaculate Heart and this magnificent just man, Joseph, and then the Sacred Heart radiating out of this baby, you're just going to be in, enter into it. Enter into the joy of Christmas. And where is it? It's in you, and you're in it. And so often we fail to get it. I found it every place I've ever gone. I found it especially among the poor, because they aren't distracted by all the stuff around them. I call it the tinsel. And so as they enter into it and it enters into them, then they grab and grasp the true meaning of Christmas.
Wow. Well, thank you, Monsignor. I think I'm in a presence. Well, you're not a saint. You're not supposed to be a saint yet, because then you'd have to be dead.
We're in progress.
Oh, good.
God's not done with us yet.
Oh, man. He's got so much more work. I should be in Pittsburgh in the steel mills, pounding me out. God bless.
So much. Bye-bye.
A Christmas Novena. Day 4. O Lord, infant Jesus, bring us the hope that saves. Your birth to the Virgin Mary brought a hope to the world that continues to sustain us. We pray for a saving hope this Christmas. Divine Infant, after the wonders of your birth in Bethlehem, you wish to extend your infinite mercy to the whole world by calling the wise men by heavenly inspiration to your crib, which was in this way changed into a royal throne. You graciously received those holy men who were obedient to the divine call and hastened to your feet. They recognized and worshiped you as Prince of Peace, the Redeemer of mankind, and the very Son of God. Show us also your kindness and almighty power. Enlighten our minds, strengthen our wills, and inflame our hearts to know you, to serve you, and to love you in this life, that we may merit to find our joy in you eternally in the life to come. Jesus, most powerful child, I implore you again to help us with the intentions that we hold in the depths of our hearts. Divine Child, great omnipotent God, I implore through your most holy mother's most powerful intercession and through the boundless mercy of your omnipotence as God for a favorable answer to my prayer during this novena. Grant us the grace of possessing you eternally with Mary and Joseph and of adoring you with your holy angels and saints. Amen. You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.